Many of David's psalms were prayers. And there's something about singing the prayer that tends to cause the prayer to come out of your heart even more deeply. Years ago, I talked a lot about singing. I talked a lot about singing your intercession. That was when we had a spectacular healing happen in my living room. But there's something there as a point of victory. And so I didn't even know I was going to say this. But I believe as we do pray at home, wherever we are, that if there is something in you that you realize is just not connecting with God, then lift it up. and sing the prayer. Sing it from the depths of your heart. Because have you ever noticed when you sing, you tend to experience it more within your whole body? Have you ever noticed that? When you're singing, there's just this reverberation you can just feel go through your whole being. Well, we'll see where we go with all that as we continue to move on in this message. But when I was thinking about it, I just saw this ship that was at docked. And it reminded me of when all that was going on in our nation in this last year, that they were sending ships to a couple different states. I believe we had one coming down to California, and was it New York? Was another one? And I really believe that the Holy Spirit of God has been preparing people in different states in our nation to be these vessels of mercy and grace. Now, I believe he can use us in different states because we have someone on that is in a different state. And everybody has their part and their role in the kingdom of God. But he said we have to let mercy and grace dock in our heart. That's what he said to me. Because prayer is not just about what we say, but who we are. It's the person that prays. If you wonder why some people have spectacular answers to pray, then get to know the person, because it is the person that is praying. And that's why when we minister to people, many times in laying hands on the sick or just laying hands on in any kind of depth of ministry, that there is a transfer of not just goosebumps, it's actually a transfer of what is in that person going in to others. And I think Miriam's done a very excellent job about explaining many of these things that people need to know. And so our desires as Christians should be to have the right heart in everything. Everything that pertains to our life, and to be a reflection of the Lord to others. Really, when we get to these places with the Lord and we minister to people, they can be made aware by the Holy Spirit that it's not you. There really is the Lord that touched them. And so many people are so man-focused that they're thinking it's the man, but sometimes it's almost better to shut your eyes and just know that God touched you and not necessarily a person, though they may be a ship carrying that cargo from the Holy Spirit that we are partaking of. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to start with verse 1. I have spent a lot of time in Timothy as a believer, and little did I know that one day I would be like a Timothy to an Apostle Paul. And so understanding their relationship has been very, very helpful. But there are so many pearls of wisdom that the Apostle Paul imparted to Timothy to impart to the body of Christ. So don't just look at this as, okay, this is Timothy and I'm not in that office. But you can still function in some of the things that maybe he did do. All right, we're going to start with verse 1. Let's see. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read for a little bit. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." This is what I'm doing today. This word was committed to Timothy. It's been committed to me, and now I'm committing it to you. It says, "To faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I really believe this is what the body of Christ needs to understand in the day that we live in. We need to endure the hardness as good soldiers. John, my amazing husband, put on, it was a John Wayne old war movie. It really riveted me because I realized that John Wayne played a superior, and there were some unresolved issues in himself. And yet he did impart a lot to the soldiers, but at the very end of his life in this movie, he wrote down a letter to his son he had never seen. And it was committed to one soldier that he had worked with over and over to get him right, to get him to be right on the inside. And so when John Wayne was killed in the war, it was given to this one soldier. And the one soldier was going to take it because John Wayne is supposedly in the military. He had written a letter to his son that he really never knew. And this young man that John Wayne, as his superior, had put so much in him, felt it was his responsibility to make sure that got to his son, because he had gotten married himself, and during his time in war, his wife had gotten pregnant and he had a child. So he understood if it was him, he would want that done. And I really believe that there's different scenarios that will arise in this day, that the Holy Spirit's going to need specific individuals to pick up these responsibilities, to minister to certain people. Yeah, Debbie's shaking her head because she knows this. But you need to know this. Every single one of you, God is going to select you to minister to specific people. But if we are not vessels of mercy and grace, we won't be able to do this effectively. And that's why the Lord has given this specific message to me. All right, so let me continue on. He said, "No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." He's talking to us as believers. We cannot get ourselves entangled in what's going on in the world. We are in the army of God. We have been enlisted by the Holy Spirit to do specific works. And this is why we have to protect our heart. We have to protect our mind from all that's going on around us, or it will interfere with God's strategy being able to be implemented by us with a right heart. Okay. "And if any man, and if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." Do you know God's laws? One being the law of love. If we do not strive as soldiers for Christ, believers that are in the army of God, and we don't do it his way, we're not going to be effective. Okay. I'm going to move us down to verse 14. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Boy, there's sometimes people do that in the church, or they do that about other things. They strive about words instead of what's the real heart of the issue. But to the subverting of the hearers. This is what happens when we get into a place of strife. Verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. It just shows you, just like you go out on a ship, and we were watching another war movie. I tell you, God's using these war movies to teach me a lot, because we are in a war. And one of these movies, some of them, their assignment was to go and disengage these bombs that had been attached, I think I told you, underneath the ships. Very dangerous job. Do you realize a peacemaker has many times a very dangerous job to do, to try to restore peace where there is chaos has come in? And this is what the church is still here for, to be peacemakers in this day. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Anytime a believer is in error, they can actually cause an overthrowing of the faith. What does that mean? That means somebody else that had faith, their faith is dismantled or injured. It reminds me of a time that I was dealing with a leader, and they said something to me that, I have to be careful with my words because I'm not wanting to attack them, but they took a truth and they presented it at the wrong time because it didn't give me the right understanding for the situation. It actually tripped faith that I was working on. So we have to really know from the Holy Spirit what we are to say to people. Even if we're in leadership, we need to know what we are to say. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And I believe this is the season that the body of Christ is in from the Lord, is to make sure that we are sanctified. Sanctified, though it sounds very holy, it is. It means to be separated. In other words, if the news is coming in with a lot of stuff that is very negative, very condemning, you have to separate what you're going to think about. You can know something without it corrupting you, unless you start meditating on it. Because your meditation will become the manifestation. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Think about this. This is quite an instruction from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Notice how specific Paul was in instructing him for the day that Timothy lived in. What do you think it was like? Try to visualize this. Try to see Timothy taking this in. Timothy, a young minister, and he's taking this in. But he didn't want Timothy just to know this. He wanted Timothy to be able to pass this on to those that he was ministering to. And that's the purpose of leadership, not just in ministry, but in every aspect of life, is to help keep the whole company or organization flowing correctly. Because otherwise, people just start sabotaging people's businesses. And so this message takes me back to my very early years as a believer, learning his way of life. Because when we're born again, that means a new person has been placed within us. A new person. I go back to the question I asked a leader once, where did my old spirit go? Have you ever thought about this? It's good to think about some of these things, because the more you understand these things, the better you will understand yourself. And I remember the person, I could tell their wheels were turning because they're thinking, how am I supposed to respond to this? And the person said, it was recreated. 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 And that's a deep thought. Have you ever thought about it? It's a very deep thought. So the old person, the old spirit, it doesn't live in us anymore. But it has to be fed spiritual food to grow. Just like a child, my daughter decided to put her daughter in homeschooling for a year, because she's behind from all of this distance learning and wasn't learning things. And she picked up her responsibility because it's her child, and thought, I got to make sure these things get in her. And so we have to make sure as believers that we get the right substances of understanding and maturity in us to handle the day. Just like Miriam's been talking about, we're going to receive new anointings we have never had because we didn't need them. But we're going to need anointings from the Holy Spirit to handle the day that we are in. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of anointings. It's just not goosebumps. That means people that are called to business, people that are called to government, people that are called to ministry are going to get new anointings from God to do what they have been called to do. And this is so important that we share this with fellow believers that are in different arenas, is that God has made it his quest to keep the church functioning at high levels. And therefore, when you have a new season, just like in the natural, when we have a new season, we change our garments, don't we? We changed from summer garments to autumn garments. And now we're doing a little bit of winter garments. Well, it's that way in the spirit. New seasons, you're going to get new garments. And you, every one of us should be aware that God is wanting to work this in us, but we have to surrender to this work. And all of us should come out of this as most incredible, with most incredible understandings and abilities. Praise God. Because understanding definitely goes with being able to handle an ability. When it comes to being sanctified, the Holy Spirit is the agent. He is the one that is involved in sanctification. He's the one working in us and also coming upon us, visiting us. You can tell, and you should be able to as you're continuing to grow, that things are changing on the inside of you for good. But also, you should be able to tell when you're spending time with the Lord, like Maureen was sharing about praying in the Spirit, which I have been doing too, where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it almost feels like He has put something new upon you. And it really isn't supposed to be mysterious. It is an ability. And He's making us aware that He has given us a new ability. When I go back, and I want you to do this for yourself. I want you to go on my website, and I want you to look at my ordination. And I want you to watch something very specific, because I was aware of things that were going on, but when I watched the video later, it's very obvious to the looker, if they understand these things, what was happening. But suddenly she said that the anointing of God was coming upon me, that a mantle was coming upon me that would never leave me. And I remember, when I look at the video, I remember when the anointing came on me, you see my shoulder kind of go down. I actually felt in the spirit the weight of this new mantle that had never been on me before, ever. Now, I had ministered for years, but this mantle was a specific mantle of an office that God had just put upon me through that ordination. There are mantles that come on business people. There's mantles that come on parents. You know, when you think about your children growing up, when you first have children, you've never had little ones that you've had to oversee. Maybe babysat, but not as your own, where you had 24 hours a day to make all these decisions. And then they grow into the next level of teenagehood, and then they grow into adulthood, and then they get married. How many of you are aware of the mantle as a parent to give wisdom and counsel to your children at different levels? Because if you aren't, let the Holy Spirit help you to become aware. Because otherwise you will live your whole life in the natural with your children and not be able to minister to them at the depth that you need to spiritually. These are important things. You get a new job, a mantle will come upon you. And the mantle comes from God, but it comes for the specific purposes that you will need in that business. Now, though I have a lot of business background, there were certain new things I had to understand. And so I needed more grace, and therefore the Lord had me gather people that had grace that I could utilize to learn. And I don't know that very many Christians think about this with their life. I think they just go from service to service, then go off and do their own thing, but they don't realize that God is wanting to sanctify them in their work. Now, maybe you're not able to do certain things. For example, maybe John's not doing a lot of cooking right now. But if he will seek the Lord, God will sanctify him with insight in what he will be doing and preparing him to be ready to do it. And this is true for every single one of us. And so I encourage you in your time alone with the Lord that you let the Holy Spirit work this new sanctification for what you're going to need. For example, when I got the prayer clause from Miriam, I have been working with the anointing. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the anointing on the prayer cloth, if you have one, how you're looking at that, but you need to be aware of it. You need to be aware of it so you can work with that anointing, because with that anointing for it was not just for healing. I'll tell you that right now. When I received it, it gave me an awareness. I better make sure I'm in the center of the will of God wherever I go. Wherever I go. It wasn't fear not to go places. It was to make sure I was aware, because I couldn't see in the natural what is going on with other people, what I may touch, what I may not. It made me aware that I need to be aware of things I was never thinking about. Now, I shared with you the time I walked into that gas station thing without my mask on. For some reason, I let that awareness slip. So I had to make a correction. And this is why when we stay in this place with the Lord every single day, He'll correct us, adjust us, and show us so that we don't get up every day and go on autopilot like we did yesterday. And realize every day is a new day. And so let that part of the Holy Spirit's work continue to separate you. Because that's what sanctification is. It's separating us to make sure we're smack dab in the center of what He wants us to do. There can be things you really desire to do today. Really desire. But they may not be part of that sanctification. And so we need to ask, what is it? And I really believe part of what it is to get built up with the Lord by spending time with Him, by meditating, taking care of household things that we may need to do. But I believe He has allotted for many of us really a time of deep impartation from Him. Deep insight and awarenesses that we never really took the time to seek Him about because we were about our Father's business and other things last year. When God chooses us for specific works, we are to choose His choice. Maybe you haven't thought about that. We have to choose His choice. When my sister was building the website, she was wanting me to give as much visual to what the Lord had showed me. So she was sending me pictures of bridges, and she sent me a picture of a bridge that was exactly like my dream, where I had driven my vehicle to this man-made bridge, mind you, and it was severely broken, and I was standing at the edge. And I knew I could not go across the bridge that way. I couldn't get to where I was supposed to go, where all these high-rise buildings and all the people were. I couldn't get there that way. So I had to completely get off of that bridge, go down to the ground, and take my vehicle across. And I realized, as I've thought about that, and sometimes like a day like this, it's good to revisit some of these dreams and visions that God has given to you. I've really thought more about it, and everything about that dream was telling me that I need to make sure everything I do has its foundation in God and not man's idea, because that bridge was man-made. And so in that dream, what Miriam, that was the person in the dream before I met her, she was giving me all car mechanical terms. And many of them were going like over my head. And you may hear some of these things today thinking, that's just going right over my head. You may not be the teacher of this, but you still can be a recipient of learning different mechanics. How does this vehicle work? And so for us as believers, we need to really know, how does the vehicle of prayer work? How does it work? What's all the dynamics? One of the first dynamic is, if our heart's not right, the vehicle won't work. Because if our heart's not right, it's like going to a destination that God has not told you to go, even though it may be a good destination. So our heart has to be right. God has known all of us even before the foundation of the world. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb, as King David said. But the sanctification not only helps us, this continual being separated unto Him and every thought that we have, it helps us to live a pure life. When you say somebody is holy, I remember somebody coming to me, I'm trying to remember that specific situation, but they wanted something, they needed something, and they said, oh, you're so holy. They felt unclean. Well, a holy person isn't flawless, but they're continuing to allow the Holy Spirit to purify their heart, to cleanse them from unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness doesn't necessarily mean you hurt somebody, but maybe you did something you weren't supposed to do. Maybe it was good, but you weren't supposed to do it because God's name wasn't on it. He hadn't ordained it for you at that time. And so that's how we impact people when we are living daily by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It will help to bring the convicting power of God to unsaved people so that we can begin to bring them the gospel. In 1 Timothy 2:21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So if you will take some time to read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, of these things that the believers needed to be purged from, and if you don't, you will lack. If you don't on your own, take some time to read 1 Timothy 2 and really ask the Lord to help you understand, where is it you're trying to sanctify me? And sanctification is a separation. It could be a separation from the way you're thinking about something. It could be a separation of something that you're doing that He really doesn't want you doing right now. But it is a movement of the Holy Spirit to put you smack dab in the center of His will. When we do this, the Bible says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. There's a lot of people that need help in this day. A lot of people that need help. When I think about that family that sacrificially, from what I understand, did what they did to help make sure somebody with a call in the field that my sister is in to be able to continue their call. It was pretty overwhelming to behold, because God wants to use all of us. Now somebody can say, wow, who were they? Does it really matter? There's a lot of no-namers out there that nobody knows that God wants to use in this day. And they may never be known, because sometimes when you are known, it's to your disadvantage. Sometimes when your face is out there. When you think of our special forces, which we are, do you see their faces very much, Rich? No. In fact, when I get pictures from Maria, I know I can only show certain people. I will not put them out public. Why? Because they are to be protected. Because they go into more highly volatile situations. And I believe the Holy Spirit has some very unique situations to use us in everyday life, in our military first responder outreach. I really believe we've just scratched the surface. Because many times God is testing us to see how far He can trust us before He takes us to the next level. Isn't that how it is, Rich, when it comes to being promoted in those fields? They want to make sure that you are tried and tested under pressure. And listen, we are being tried and tested under pressure. God's not bringing the pressure, but He's using it to find out who He can really use in this day. So enjoy the grace of God. The grace of God after you've received the mercy. Any mercy that you need for any place that you have failed to be fruitful. It may not be you stole something. It may be you were trying to pray for somebody and it just never happened. So maybe God wants to work within each one of us in unique ways because of the way He wants to use us, certain truths and promises He wants so deep within us, because you are going to meet people I will never meet. And so you need to know what you need to be equipped with. And that doesn't just come from services like this. It comes from our time alone, asking Him. So I believe this is a time to offer ourselves afresh unto the Lord, to be sanctified, to be separated unto Him. And it's something I can't do for you. It's something every single one of us have to do for ourselves. It's basically laying down your life thus far and say, this is what you've had me do. And I come before you, Lord. Show me what you have ahead. Not just the works you're going to do, but what is it you need to do in me that you may work it through me? Because sometimes there may be an arena of fear, as Miriam talked about, that needs to be completely abolished before He could ever tell you to go into a certain situation that maybe you have been afraid of in the past. So we need to go to the Lord. Or maybe He wants you to go into an arena where you're going to have high exposure to somebody, but you're going to have to go with such humility and grace and specific insight to know exactly how to approach it. And this is what Prophetic Ministries has been trying to communicate with the body of Christ for the day that we live in. Well, I'm going to close for now. I think this could go on into probably a part two, but think about yourselves like those ships. Receive the mercy, and therefore you'll receive the grace. Be aware, by the help of the Holy Spirit, where you need mercy. Mercy means you're not doing exactly what you should be doing. You're not taking the time with the Lord that really you probably need to. You're maybe not taking care of yourself the way you need to. Maybe you're not taking the time to really value His Word and meditate on His Word. I don't know what it is for each one of you, but the Holy Spirit wants to speak to every single one of us and show us what we need to make as priorities in this day to be sanctified and fit for the Master's use. Amen.